This is Audiograph. I'm Julie Kane. And if those two sentences sound familiar to you, well, they should, because that's how we've introduced our weekly sonic treasure hunt on KALW for more than 2 years now. To celebrate, we're doing a special show and giving away a special prize. What you're about to hear is a collage of sounds recorded since Audiograph first started. If you're a dedicated listener, you can probably guess a lot of them. We'll reveal the answers at the end of the show. For now, though, just listen closely. Okay, pencils down. We'll come back to that. For now, onto the show. Our first sound is a sound I really love. Bells. The idea for this one came to us from Lizak Shalit, a listener who lives near UC Berkeley.
I was walking through campus, and I heard the campanile, and I said, oh no, this is definitely something to tape. And of course, I had my cell phone with me, so I did. I stood there for quite a long time taping and listening. And I've always loved bells. And the bigger the bell, the mightier the sound.
Thanks, Lizak. We had KALW's Jeremy Dalmas climb the tower to learn more about that mighty sound. Here's who he met when he got to the top.
My name's Jeff Davis. I'm the University Carillonist at the University of California. I mean, don't confuse a bell tower with a carillon. That'd be like confusing a living room with a sofa.
Okay, so
the carillon is the instrument that's at the top of the tower. A lot of people graduate here after 4 years and thought it was automatic the whole time. When you play the carillon, you're actually moving a metal clapper. A clapper is the metal piece inside of a bell that has a ball on it. So that can weigh up to hundreds of pounds. For a professional performer, it can be quite a light feeling. It can feel quite easy to play. For a beginner, it can be quite heavy and difficult to move the clapper over. I always tell my students this is the only instrument that you'll ever play in the whole world where what you practice on is not what you play. So the practice instruments don't play bells. They play tone bars like you'd find on a vibraphone, perhaps. So, what do you want to hear a little here on?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, I'll be playing this at noon, so you get to hear it on the carillon as well.
Oh, great.
So you can hear how these are different things. So every minute here, you'll hear the clock mechanism. So all I ask of you is that you be quiet and stay still.
Okay.
This next audiograph is about sound, of course, but it's also about being quiet. KALW's David Boyer traveled to a sacred spot near Muir Beach where people practice a devotion to silence.
Green Gulch is a Zen practice center and organic farm in Marin County, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. I am Catherine Gammon. My priest name is Yuji Hoshin, and it means courageous word, liberating heart. I am on staff at Green Gulch. I think it's a combination of sounds that would make it specifically Green Gulch that you're hearing. We are silent from the end of the night until silence is broken at breakfast. So the sounds are communicating about schedules, basically. There's a wake-up bell. It's a specific bell, and somebody's job in the morning is to get the bell, and there's a little ritual in the Zendo where you bow and light a candle and go around Green Gulch ringing the bell. And there's a drum that indicates the hour, and then a bell that indicates the portion of the hour. So there are patterns to the sound. They're not music exactly, but they have patterns, and the patterns communicate. They're like a language of sound. The umpan, which is a big flat gong that hangs outside the dining room, rings before all meals to announce that it's time not only to come to the dining room, but if you're in the dining room, it's time to... Everybody stands up formally and waits for the end of the umpan before going to take their food. We're silent as we get our meals and take our seats, and then there's a sound signal of a clap, clap with wooden sticks that tells us now it's time to speak. Zen, in particular, emphasizes meditation practice. And meditation is silent. When you sit still and silent, and there's no particular stimulus, maybe there's a bird or somebody coughing, but basically there's not a lot of input. You might get a little input of like pain from your knee or discomfort from a bad dream or from something you did yesterday that you don't feel so good about or something you're hoping for that you have a fantasy about, all kinds of things. You get to notice this activity of mind that normally, if you're in the midst of activity, you're not really paying attention to, but it is going on. So the stillness and the silence allow me to recognize what's going on in the undertone, what's the hum, you know, that is coloring my experience of the world. It's not the kind of restless silence of being alone and wanting to have company. It's the silence of really being receptive and tuning in.
Now, at Green Gulch, you might just let those bird songs flow in one ear and out the other. But not these birds.
There you go. So keep watching. It's probably going to go right back on its nest.
There's a person who loves that sound a whole lot. KALW's Melanie Young met up with a retired lawyer and labor rights activist who's become obsessed with some of Golden Gate Park's biggest residents.
Okay. In Golden Gate Park, from morning till dark, I'll watch over my blue herons, a squawk and a squeak.
My name is Nancy DeStefanis. I'm the executive director of San Francisco Nature Education, and we're at Stowe Lake.
Would you like to come see?
I started this program 12 years ago called Heron Watch, and what we do is we set up telescopes, spotting scopes, and we lead tours of the wild birds, including the great blue herons that nest here.
It's kind of looking straight at us now.
Here. I can see it.
With the binoculars? Oh, good. Is that beautiful? Did you see the bright yellow on the bill?
I call myself a community naturalist because I'm good at getting people out here to see these wonderful birds. To me, I want the underserved children of our city to experience the wonders of walking around for 2 hours with binoculars on dirt and seeing these wonderful birds. So it's still about social justice for me. It's just at a different spot where I'm going into classrooms with my volunteers and then taking them out here with all my naturalists.
So we saw the heron picture of the big fish in his or her mouth. What else do you think the heron might eat? Mice? That's a good one. What else?
Now, the heron is really a charismatic bird. It's got a magnificent 6-foot wingspan. It's got a gold beak, and he's 4 feet tall. I mean, it's hard to miss these birds, and yet people would walk around the lake and have no idea that these birds were right opposite them on this little island.
Okay, here it is. So look with your eyes. Here it comes. You can see it just fine. There you go. So keep watching. It's probably going to go right back on its nest.
Beautiful.
And there it goes.
Oh.
Just as planned.
There he is. Nice show. We saw a flying heron.
Do herons make a sound? Like today, I didn't hear the herons make a sound. Do herons make a sound?
Herons, great blue herons make an incredible sound. It's guttural. It's guttural. So if a heron, another heron tries to fly into their nest, they will squawk like crazy at that bird. Very, very squawky and very loud. When the chicks are about to be fed, we hear them making little squawking sounds all over the lake. You can hear them up in the nest.
Because now you know where he is.
It's not a baby.
Yeah. Okay, well, would you like to see again? Because now it's moving a lot.
So I love what I'm doing, and I'll be doing it for the rest of my life. Just birdies and me. Come on, everybody. High up in a tree, you'll soon be a great blue heron. That's heron. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. My favorite song.
I think that might be my favorite song, too. I mean, how can you not love a song about a 4-foot-tall, charismatic bird? This is Audiograph. I'm Julie Kane. And while the last place we're going to visit today is named after an animal, the sounds you're most likely to hear there are very, very human.
That is very cold! Oh, yes, very cold!
That's KALW's Casey Miner. I'll let her tell you where we are. But first, let's hear just how cold it is.
Do you know what the temperature of the bay is today?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. It's warmer now than it was back in that cold snap that we had in December. It's up from 49, and it's now a blistering 51.4.
This is John Belinsky, and as much as I wish it were different, he's not talking about the temperature of the air. He's talking about the temperature of the water. Right now, San Francisco Bay is about as cold as it ever gets.
It generally takes 2 weeks swimming 3 times a week to get used to swimming in the bay.
As you may have guessed by now, we're in the boathouse at the Dolphin Club down by San Francisco's aquatic park. It's a swimming and rowing club that's been around since the late 19th century. Belinsky is in charge of keeping the boats shipshape.
Watertight and shiny. That's my job.
He also swims in the bay without a wetsuit most of the time. Are you going swimming today?
I gave it up in November, but I'll be back in March.
Why'd you give it up in November?
It's too cold.
I hate being cold. I am the person on your camping trip with mittens and extra wool socks. I am the sleeper who requires 3 blankets in the middle of an East Coast summer. But I came here today to jump into the bay, and I am going to do it. Eventually.
You know where the locker rooms are?
No.
Okay. It's up these stairs on the other side of this wall.
The Dolphin Club has been a San Francisco institution for almost as long as there's been a San Francisco. The boathouse is made of wood planks and filled with small wooden boats. There's a bar inside, but no heat. The walls are covered with photos of swimmers and rowers, some in old-timey suits.
This picture over here in the middle of that is when the Dolphin Club was over at the bottom of Van Ness Avenue, which is where it started. And then when they wanted to build the Maritime Museum, they floated the whole building out into the bay.
When we called to ask about recording here, they said, sure, you can do a story, but you have to get in.
I mean, even the club has taken a swim in the bay.
Wow, look at all these suits.
Do you have earplugs?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give you some earplugs.
This is Melissa King. I run into her in the locker room, and she is a treasure trove of good advice.
Very important to wear earplugs in really cold water because it will have a negative impact on your ears if you do not.
She didn't stop swimming when it got cold. She started. She's trying to win the club's annual Polar Bear Award. They give it to the first person to swim 40 miles in winter water.
Oh, it is just so invigorating. It's definitely cold, but for me, I've been doing it, as you heard, since the 21st of December. I've been pretty consistent trying to be here every day, which makes a difference. Try and do it at least, I'd say, 2 or 3 times a week in the winter to stay acclimated. Otherwise, it's hard to get in. It's hard to get in anyway. But there's nothing like the feeling of getting out.
Looking around, you can see that the Dolphin Club draws people like this. There are hundreds of lockers with hundreds of swimsuits hanging to dry. Hundreds of people who crave that feeling.
Just the feeling of closeness, I'd say, with the city also. Like you'll see when you go swim out in the middle of the cove, you're going to see Koi Tower and you're going to see the Ghirardelli sign. And at twilight, I encourage you to come back at twilight. So beautiful. The line, the Ghirardelli sign lights up and the lights along the walkway, along the Muni Pier. It's just gorgeous, and you realize, wow, I'm really a part of San Francisco. I'm swimming where most people just come to look at the tall ships at Hyde Street Pier or sit out and watch the fireworks. I'm actually in the water looking back at all of that, and it's really cool. So enjoy it.
Some tips for enjoying it from Melissa and the other people at the Dolphin Club. 1, put your clothes in the club's 150-degree sauna before jumping in and head straight there when you get out. 2, wear a thermal swimming cap. And 3, remember to breathe.
I had a stress dream about this last night. I dreamed that I couldn't find my bathing suit, which when I woke up I thought was kind of funny because it's not like bathing suit really makes any difference to me, probably.
Outside, there's a few stairs down to a small beach bordered by 2 short piers. John Belinsky and club president Diane Walton are out here already.
I could see my breath.
I'm wearing a bathing suit. They have coats and hats. We watch a few swimmers walk into the water silently.
Everybody gets ready to go in differently. Some people walk in very slowly. Some people run and just hurl themselves into the water. So you get to have your own Casey's entry point. It'll be great.
Okay. Here we go.
That is very cold. Oh, yes, very cold.
My swim lasted 1 minute and 15 seconds. I swam to the end of the dock and back.
That is very, very cold.
I was breathing fast, shivering in a way I couldn't quite believe.
You did it.
But as soon as I got out, I kind of wanted back in. I'd been so caught up with making sure I just did it that I hadn't relaxed enough to actually enjoy it.
The sand is pretty warm. My arms are not warm. My arms are really cold.
Still happy you got into journalism as a career move? Okay,
yeah,
good.
I am. Who else gets to do this for their job?
I'm Julie Kane, and this is Audiograph. Remember that sound collage we played at the beginning of the show? Here it is again.
There
are 19 audiograph sounds in there. 19! Even I didn't get them all. Seriously, I actually missed one.
That's pathetic, Kane.
This is KLW's Chris Hoff.
Hello.
Hello. He made this collage, and he's one of the sound engineers who helps make Audiograph beautiful every week.
Yep. Me and Seth do that
you
every week.
You and Seth Samuel, thank you so much. So, Chris, why don't you do the honors and reveal all the sounds in the collage you made and also announce our winner?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so nobody got them all right. Like, it's way too hard to get 19 sounds in 30 seconds right. But we do have a winner who got a lot of them right. And our winner this week is the all-star, the all-time all-star of Audiograph, Glenn.
Glenn!
Good morning. My name is Glenn, and I'm ready to weigh in with some of those Audiograph sounds that I heard. I heard the Golden Gate Field. I believe I heard a bit of the San Francisco Opera in there. Pretty sure that I heard the open mic down there at the Pacific Bell Ballpark. And then there was the time where they recorded on the Bar Bridge going across to the A's game. Oh, what about that covered California call center in Concord? I think I heard that one. And the sea shanties. I heard the sea shanties in the Campanile. I heard the bells in the tower, and I heard the cable car and the lighthouse. I heard the lighthouse and the otters. I heard the otters. And then I heard the garden gnome factory, and I heard fruit, bats, and slopes, and breakfast cereal.
End of message.
Man, that's really good, Glenn. That's actually really impressive. You didn't get them all right, but you got so many of them that we're going to send you, you know, a special KLW hoodie this week, which we don't do that often. We usually send shirts. Anyway, now I want to give all of the sounds that we heard in that montage.
I can't wait.
Okay, so here we go. Elephant seals, San Quentin, the dog show, the opera singer at Powell Street, parrots of Telegraph Hill, the bagpiper in the financial district, Golden Gate Fields, a shofar, the San Francisco Giants organist, the Paramount Theater in Oakland, a cable car bell ringer, the Campanile, flying kites at the Berkeley Marina, the Pinball Museum in Alameda, the birds underneath the Bay Bridge, batting practice at AT&T Park, cricket, a shooting range at Lake Merced, and finally, Seabowl.
That's a lot. You know, the one I didn't get was the shofar. I thought it was a vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I thought it was. You've been listening to an Audiograph special from KALW News. Special thanks to Jeremy Dalmas, Melanie Young, David Boyer, Chris Hoff, Seth Samuel, and Casey Miner. Ashley Ann Krigbaum is our associate producer, and Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Audiograph is a project of KALW and the Creative Work Fund. And we really, really love it when you call and tell us where to record, so please do that. Call now, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. I'm Julie Kane. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing. Audiograph will be back next week.